Good morning. It is 10 after 5, and I am not ready to go on yet. Can you wait? Amuse yourself for a while. Read the news. Check the weather. Go over the sports. Do a traffic report in your neighborhood, and then I'll be ready in about an hour or so. I think I finally realized what actually the worst part of the day is if you're working the early morning hours. It's not so much when the alarm goes off. It's at night when you're thinking about having to go to sleep early, and it weighs over you. You guys know what I mean? You experience this?
You know what? It starts Sunday morning. Where you're thinking about Sunday.
You get the
night.
Sunday blues Sunday's in the morning. Worst.
It's usually That's just on worst. Sunday for me too. Yeah.
I got it last night, and I was. Marianne likes to post on social media in the evening, you know, because we have Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and everything, and so last night I wanted to go to bed, and so she's posting with me. I got to tell her we got to do this earlier in the day, because at the end of the day, she was saying to me, how does this sound? What if we write this for the post of you and Alderman Riley from yesterday morning? What would be something good to say about that? And then I say something like, I don't care, just say anything. And then she gets mad at me, and then I go to bed, and there's tension in the air, and I have no room for that. I got to get the posting job moved up earlier in the day. I think that may be one of the keys. That when people are asking, well, how's it going, Bob? You've been doing this for a couple weeks now. Are you figuring out where to do what between 5 and 9 a.m.? And I always say, well, everything's fine between 5 and 9 a.m. It's the rest of the day that's a problem and night.
You have to make sure all important decisions are made, like, late afternoon, late afternoon.
Especially creative ones.
And then you're done. Like, I tell my kids, don't be texting me, you know, at 9 o'clock at night about it, something you need to know by the next day. You know, I'm just not with it.
Yeah, and don't ask me to be creative.
Yeah, please.
You know, after 8 p.m. or so. The creative department shuts off. That's it. We're done.
And that's when a lot of people wake up. They start texting you and, you know, what are you going to do this weekend? I'm like, oh.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's the Bob Surratt Morning Program and Complaint Department. We're glad you're with us. We really are. Hope you don't mind that I use the broadcast as sort of my psychiatrist, very therapeutic, purge myself of all bad thoughts before we get going here. Yeah. So you may want to make a note to yourself when we come on at 5:08. Just be prepared for that. Or maybe you don't want to join us till like 5:18 or so. Maybe
I think it's the other way around. I think people will want to tune in to hear what Bob has on his mind at 5:08.
There's a new concept, because everybody's miserable at this hour. Why not share?
Well, I think it's more like your stream of consciousness just kind of explodes at that time.
So much for the peppy, cheery, happy morning man. That concept. Oh, well. Is it brighter in here than usual?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I thought that was also me, because I didn't get enough sleep last night.
No, it is really bright.
That's a good thing. You need to wake up, so keep the lights up. Everybody yells.
Not yet. Let's find out what they're covering over at WGN-TV News and say good morning to Hannah Welker. How you doing, Hannah?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's going on?
Hey, well, today we're talking about really the 25 people who have applied now to become Chicago's next police superintendent. The board had a meeting last night, the Chicago Police Board president, sort of giving a demographic breakdown of the applicants. No names involved yet, but they will announce those later. He says most of the applicants are men, and most of them are white. Less than half actually currently work for CPD, and the rest are from outside departments. Now, going forward in the process, the CPD board president will review the applicants with several other board members and conduct interviews, and then, of course, they'll narrow it down to three finalists, and Mayor Lori Lightfoot will make the final decision. And, of course, we all know the entire process comes after Superintendent Eddie Johnson was fired over a month ago. LAPD Chief Charlie Beck is in the place right now. He's at the interim, but he does say that he has ruled himself out as a candidate for the full-time position. So a lot of change will happen very soon, but the 25 applicants at least have been entered into the mix. So we'll see how that goes.
So, Hannah, interviews in the coming weeks, that means we're not going to have a new superintendent for a while yet, right?
Yeah, I believe. I mean, if there are 25 applicants, they all have to do interviews, they all have to be reviewed, it's going to be quite some time. And Charlie Beck isn't really taking a back seat because he is ruling himself out. He's still trying to make positive changes going forward until the full-time person is put in place. And I did want to remind people, back in 2016, Mayor Rahm Emanuel went around the board's finalists and had city council pass a special ordinance so he could hire Eddie Johnson, even though he didn't even apply for the job. But Mayor Lightfoot says that will not happen this time, and she plans to base her decision on the board's finalists.
Hannah Welker over there at Channel 9. And Hannah, we haven't had a chance to talk. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from originally? How long have you been here in Chicago?
Well, so I've actually been at WGM for about 4 or 5 months, so I'm pretty new. But I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but I went to college at the University of Illinois, go Illini. Started in news in Rockford, and so I sort of made my way back here. I'm very happy to be in Chicago.
It must be fun for you to be back in the Midwest.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
All right, and you're at a good place there, Channel 9. I think they do news 23 hours a day now, don't they?
A lot of news. It's a lot.
All right, well, good talking to you. Thanks for the update on the search for a new top cop here.
Absolutely.
All right, have a good day. It's 5:22, and about this time every morning, we say hello to someone who is the first caller we put on the radio, and they get a prize. And today it's you, June, in Franklin Park. Good morning.
Hi.
Welcome.
How are you?
Welcome to the world. I hope you didn't mind my complaining here at the beginning of the broadcast.
Oh, no, that's okay.
What are you doing up at this hour?
Well, I'm a homemaker, and I like to be up early because when I heard you were going to be on back on the air, I enjoy listening to you on the radio, so I like listening to your show.
Well, bless you. And you know what? And this is really great news so early, because I promised management, part of the deal is that I would get one new listener a day. You know, I like to set the bar low. So thanks for fulfilling my promise. And June, we're going to get you to Granite Peak Ski Area at Rib Mountain State Park in the heart of Wisconsin. A little getaway package for you for ski lift tickets. Two-night stay at the Hampton Inn in Wausau for the best skiing in the Midwest. To book your stay, visit SkiGranitePeak.com. What's planned for the weekend there in Franklin Park, June?
Oh, not too much going on. It's too cold to be doing anything really special.
Yeah.
But I have an anniversary. Our wedding anniversary is coming up. So.
Oh, really? What number is this?
We'll be married 36 years.
Okay, we need to know the secret. What's yours?
I don't know. I don't have, too much advice.
Don't think.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, congratulations to you folks. How are you celebrating? How are you going to celebrate? What are you going to do?
Well, we're going out to dinner and maybe a show, possibly.
Okay. You coming into the city?
Not really.
Well, don't do it tonight, because it's going to get really messy later on tonight.
Yes, I hear.
And the real cold hits, I guess, tomorrow it's going to be messy. And then tomorrow night, Sunday morning, really cold. Same for Monday morning. Oh, man, this is a mess. A lot of people have Monday off. It's going to be a cold one. So have a good weekend. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the nice comments. And hang on, we'll get the information, get you a nice prize.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Appreciate it, June. Dave, I don't profess to know anything about sports, but according to my spies, and we were pretty good kind of predicting what was going to happen to Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
My spies are telling me that the next big piece of this is going to be about Jose Altuve, that he is going to be in trouble next. Have you heard anything about this?
Well, there was a story this week that Houston players were actually wearing some kind of devices, and that Altuve was one of those players. Major League Baseball said that there is no evidence that Astros players were doing that. So they've said that individual players are not going to be punished, and that's sort of been the refrain since this whole thing kind of bubbled up this week with the announcement on what they were Monday, I think.
Right.
Yep. So obviously this kind of adds a new wrinkle to it. The idea that that these guys had some kind of, they were basically wearing wires, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess the thing with Altuve, the rumor is that they wore some sort of electronic buzzers under their jerseys.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of like the item that makes cell phones vibrate. It's about the size of a quarter. So we'll see.
Whole thing kind of exploded on Twitter, and so Major League Baseball, I think, felt compelled to address it.
Yeah.
And who knows? There's so much technology everywhere, and we're surrounded by it, and it's a part of every sport. But this seems to me, you would have to react pretty quickly to a buzz.
That's better than a garbage can.
Well, I guess, but I mean, sometimes, don't you feel like your phone's buzzing and it's not buzzing?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, so, yeah. I don't know.
I see where Anthony Rizzo was talking about the scandal, and of course he's in town with a lot of the guys because of the Cubs convention right here in our neighborhood at the Sheraton this weekend. And Rizzo was saying that he believes that teams have done this to the Cubs at times, this meaning stealing signs. He says 100%, and I don't know. It was to the Astros' extent, he said. He was talking about how they were clean, mm-hmm. the World Series championship team, but it definitely goes on. And I see where a Cubs guy is maybe going to get the job as the Astros' manager, Will Venable.
But he's going to interview for it. They interviewed Buck Showalter as well in Houston. And look, this is suddenly there are three more opportunities for potential major league managers. So,
yeah, and they got to hire somebody fast.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of time to go through the process. It's not like they can interview, although these things can move pretty quickly. But
well, Houston's got to hire a GM as well.
They have to hire a general manager. Generally, you wouldn't be doing this a couple of weeks before pitchers and catchers report. And what it will do, Bob, is create a trickle-down because, say, the Cubs lose a coach. So I would think at this point they probably bump somebody else up.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen throughout baseball as these jobs are filled. But, again, we're talking about, at the moment, three jobs. So it's not like it's half of baseball has to find managers, but it's still a pretty hefty number for January 17th.
And who knows what will happen in the next few days. Cubs convention this weekend, and then we can think warm baseball thoughts again next weekend with the Sox Fest. That's over at McCormick Place.
McCormick Place this year for the first time. And so that's getting underway next weekend. And by the way, if you want later on this morning, I run down the list of Cubs alumni who will be at Cubs convention this year.
Oh, yes.
I think there's some names on there you'll like.
Oh, I'd like to hear that. All right, we'll get to that and more coming right up. Dorian has the Agribusiness Report.
Week on the trade front, because we get the signing of phase one of the U.S.-China trade agreement on Wednesday, and then yesterday the U.S. Senate approved a revamp of the 26-year-old North American Free Trade Agreement that includes tougher rules on labor and automotive content, but leaves $1.2 trillion in annual U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade flows largely unchanged. The legislation to implement the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement passed on a bipartisan vote yesterday 89-10, and the bill now goes to the desk of President Trump to be signed into law here in the United States. Now, we still are waiting for Canada to approve the deal before it can take effect and replace NAFTA. It was signed by the leaders of the U.S., Mexico, and Canada on September of 2018, and Trump made renegotiating NAFTA a centerpiece of his 2016 election campaign, calling it, NAFTA that is, the worst trade deal ever made, and blaming it for the loss of thousands of American factory jobs to low-wage Mexico. So we now have the two agreements in place. We're waiting to get more details on the U.S.-China trade agreement, but we pretty much will have the details on the Canada-U.S.-Mexico trade agreement. Dairy farmers are hailing it as certainly a boost to their industry to sell more dairy product to Canada. That's Ag Biz. I'm Orion Samuelson. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir. 5:40 on this Friday, January 17. Hope you're looking forward to a nice weekend. Some people have a long weekend with the Monday holiday. Everything's fine here now. We've adjusted the lights for a while. I felt like I was in the interrogation room on Dragnet, but now it's okay. Not to worry. Let's see. The big story today, really, here in Chicago is what's going to happen this weekend with the weather and the extreme cold coming in just in time for Saturday night and Sunday, and then actually Monday. It's still going to be cold, and we're not going to recover until Tuesday. And then they're talking about snow starting in earnest this evening. We'll get to more of that here momentarily. I want to remind you about the ways to get in touch with us here. The phone number and the text number is the same, 312-981-7200. We have the email machine operating at this address, bobshow@wgnradio.com. And there's a BS in the middle of that to remind you that it's not Bob's Show with two S's, it's just one BS, bobshow@wgnradio.com. And we look at all your feedback. We appreciate it. And from time to time, we even acknowledge some on the radio, which we'll do today a little after 6. So thank you for getting in touch with us. And so far, the feedback to my beginning of the show, 5:08 a.m. comments, has not been good. I got to be honest with you. this is my favorite one from the 262 area code. Great way to start a show, saying you don't want to be there. It's a new concept.
I don't think you put it that way.
No, I didn't really say that. Wasn't that extreme. And a number of other people saying you should be grateful. I am grateful. I am. But can't I be honest sometimes? Later on this morning, our old pal, Lieutenant Dave Haynes, will be with us. I don't know if you remember from some of the shows we did on the station here. And on other stations, Lieutenant Haynes is a very, very good writer. He's a very, very intelligent guy. Happens to be a veteran Chicago cop. And we've had him reviewing movies from time to time and also talking about restaurants. And I think what we're going to do here, hopefully every Friday, is talk about restaurants with him, because he wrote this book called, or co-authored it, A Beat Cop's Guide to Good Eats. So, you know, the police, they know where to eat, because they've got to go somewhere that has good food, good service, and is not very expensive. So he knows the best places to eat, and he's going to consult with fellow officers around the city to get recommendations. He'll come on here, talk about those, and maybe say something about the movies, because he's a big movie fan. But, you know, Dean Richards takes care of that here. And, you know, my job here is to not upset anybody, to make the fewest enemies as possible between 5 and 9 a.m. So I don't want to infringe on Dean's territory there. But we will talk to Officer Haynes, the lieutenant, will join us this morning at about 6:39. Balancing out the fact that it's going to be a wintry weekend in Chicago, we have the warm feeling of the Cubs convention in town this weekend. Next weekend, the Sox Fest. And, Dave, I think I'd like to hear a few of those names, some of the all-time great or all-time favorite Cubs, anyway, who are in town this weekend for the festivities right in our neighborhood here at the Sheraton.
Well, some of them are regulars at the convention. Some of the alumni, guys like Ryan Dempster and Kerry Wood, they're here pretty much all the time. But Jody Davis is here. Let me see here on the list. Rhino, of course. Darwin Barney.
Wow. Darwin Barney. The immortal.
The immortal Darwin Barney. How about this? Gary Matthews, Sr. and Jr.
Oh, both of them.
The father-son tandem will be here.
The Sarge.
The Sarge. Miguel Montero. Who, of course, hit one of the more dramatic home runs in Cubs postseason history.
Don't I remember some sort of controversy
when he left?
About him?
Yeah. The Cubs were playing in Washington, and there was kind of some ruffled feelings.
Yeah, he said a few things, and some of the guys
on the way out the door.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Reed Johnson, who made one of the best catches you'll ever see on the warning track in Washington.
I remember.
To rob the Nationals. Let's see, who else is on here that you would like to hear from? Bill Madlock, former batting champ.
I got a great Bill Madlock story. When I was playing the hits for the kids in the 70s, I had some extra T-shirts from the station. So one day when I was hanging around at Wrigley Field, as I often would, during batting practice, I brought some T-shirts for the guys. I figured, oh, this will be cool, and this is a way for me to ingratiate myself with some of the Cubs. I'll give them some of our T-shirts. And so I had about a dozen T-shirts or so, and I gave them out to some of the guys who were sitting around. And Madlock comes up to me. He was not on the field when I was giving out the T-shirts. So Madlock comes up to me, and he says, "Hey, when you bring T-shirts out here, you bring enough for everybody, okay?" that's my memory of Bill Madlock.
That's like, bring enough gum for everybody in class.
Right.
The Hawk, Andre Dawson, and Carlos Zambrano.
You know what? I mean, I always said about Zambrano, guys who have that kind of temperament never have these great Hall of Fame careers. Guys like Greg Maddux do, but you can't have the sort of mindset that Carlos Zambrano had and be successful for a long, long time, because it just doesn't work that way with most pitchers, does it?
It was a high wire act with him.
Yeah.
You just kind of never knew when when something was going to happen.
Fun to watch.
A lot of fun to watch.
All right, well, that's going to be fun. I think that you can still get tickets for the convention on StubHub and secondary markets. Those three-day passes sold out, but if you want to go, it's tonight, Saturday, and Sunday, at least Sunday through the early afternoon anyway, at the Sheraton Chicago down here. Cubs convention this weekend, and the Sox at McCormick Place next weekend. It's 5:51 right now. And we'll open up the mailbox, check on some of your feedback coming up after our 6 o'clock news today. And what else we got going on that I want to mention? Extremely local news. We run down all of that with the Block Club Chicago folks today. They'll be in at about 7:08 or so. And Dan Hampton will be along to talk with Dave Bennett about football and big weekend coming up.
Big championship weekend, Sunday. Really looking forward to it. It sounds like the weather is going to be perfect to sit and watch football on Sunday.
Yeah, it will be, for sure. And as far as our teams, let's see, Blackhawks play tomorrow night, right?
Tomorrow night in Toronto, and they will try to make it a perfect 3-0 road trip and keep this hot streak going. And Bulls play in Philly this evening, and then they come home to play Cleveland.
Okay, we've got that covered. Bill Rancic, remember Bill? I don't know if he was he the first winner on The Apprentice?
I think he was.
He's going to be here to talk about his new restaurant, big opening this weekend downtown. So we'll catch up with Bill. And Mrs. Surratt will be along this morning, and that will be at around 7:18 or so, if she's up. She's accumulated all these tips from experts. Last week she was talking about tips to survive winter, and she's got some information from the professionals on coping with the blahs and the lack of sunlight this time of year. And she's putting that all together for a book to come out at some point. And she'll be talking to us this morning, so that should be fun. And we're glad you're along for the ride. We'll keep you posted on everything that's going on as we move through the morning here at 5:53. My daughter is going to be especially interested in that story about Major League Baseball hiring their first female coach. She's a sports nut, and she really is interested in sports management and is always telling me when I bring up these jobs, "Dad, they don't hire women in those positions." Well, guess what? The first female coach on a major league staff in baseball history is Alisa Nacken. Is that how she says her name?
Yes, Alisa Nacken.
And she was named assistant under the new Giants manager, Gabe Kapler. So that's a really interesting move, isn't it?
Well,
we haven't had that before.
No, but you know, if you look around the professional sports, there are a number of female assistant coaches in the NBA.
Yeah,
and the Bulls have had one with Karen Stack, and there is an assistant coach in the NFL with the 49ers. So you've probably seen her. She's on those, I think it's Microsoft commercials.
Saw her last night.
Yeah.
And I pointed that out. I was watching with my daughter. So I said to her, "See, there you go." And she said, "But she was a professional athlete. She played women's football, right?" I mean, so.
But it's, you know, that's a lot of the male coaches are former players, too.
True.
So,
yeah. I mean, her point was you really have to get those jobs, you really have to be successful in another area first.
Well, look, this coach, now the coach with San Francisco with the Giants, was a star softball player in college.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's why she got hired.
Right.
She was an intern in the Giants 6 years ago and has worked her way up in the organization.
And wasn't the woman who does, and I really like her, the sports on ESPN, she works the baseball beat, Jessica Mendoza, mm-hmm. wasn't she a professional softball player,
yeah.
I believe?
Yes.
Yeah. There's hope out there. I mean, you know, I don't want all those.
Although
college...
she kind of stepped in it this week, Mendoza.
Yeah, I know, and I know Phil Rosenthal. I think in the Trib,
well,
was,
because
blasting her
she
today.
She called out the whistleblower,
right?
And you say, hey, you know what? This was.
I know it's not a good idea to do that, is it?
Yeah, I don't think so.
You didn't need to do that, but so anyway, I you know remind my daughter there's hope. I certainly hope so. What with the. Tuition money I'm paying. Got two more years at college, which is why I'm here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Now the top six at six with Bob Surratt on WGN Radio.
10 after 6, we do this a little earlier on Fridays. Let's begin with what everybody's talking about, the winter weather advisory. It's been issued for several Chicago area counties. A powerful burst of snow could dump several inches in some parts of the area and wreak havoc on the evening commute. Advisory is issued for the entire area, and it looks like late Friday afternoon we'll begin to see some of that snow.
Now, page two.
The Chicago Police Board has received applications from 23 people who want to become the city's next police superintendent. Officials say the applications for the post were sent in by job seekers from across the nation as well as locally. There was a Monday deadline for the submission of applications. The board reviews them, selects a number of folks. They will be brought in for the interviews in the coming weeks.
Thank you for making us your choice for news.
I think what's going to work is Paul Harvey between each story.
I love Paul Harvey.
I do like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and he'll just, every time he'll say, you know, page two or page three, And then I think we'll satisfy the people who've been complaining about the new sounds between the top six at six.
I only have page two right now.
All right, well,
I'll work on it.
Progress.
I'll get it.
That's Joe the engineer. He's on the ball. Alyssa Nakken became the first female coach on a major league staff in baseball history yesterday when she was named an assistant under new San Francisco Giants manager Gabe Kapler. MLB confirmed she is the first full-time female coach in the major leagues. As Dave and I were discussing, she's a former softball standout at first base for Sacramento State, and she joined the club in 2014 as an intern in baseball operations. That's how you start, right?
That's right. You get one of those internships and work your way up from there.
Yeah, I think Theo Epstein did that in Boston.
I believe he did.
Now, page two.
Hyatt, the Chicago-based hospitality company, announced this week it's partnering with Headspace, which provides guided meditation videos, relaxing sounds that help people sleep, and breathing exercises, and will offer those services to hotel guests, corporate customers, and Hyatt employees.
Now, page two.
Thousands of women and their allies are expected to flood downtown tomorrow for the Women's March in Chicago. Marchers will gather at Grant Park at 9 a.m. Saturday. The march will step off at 11 a.m.
Now, page two.
The Senate has set the stage for the impeachment trial of President Trump after Chief Justice Roberts administered an oath of impartial justice to every senator yesterday. The trial begins next week, but some terms are still up in the air, including whether to allow more witnesses and evidence, as Democrats point to new claims made by Lev Parnas, an associate of the president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, who says Donald Trump was aware of his efforts to pressure Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden.
Now, page two.
Did I do the six? I think that was it. Oh, the gerbil has stopped running in the machine. That's all right. I can take it from here, Joe. 6:14. Let's get a check on weather. And coming up, we will go over that list of the top jobs in 2020. I'll tell you that if you're a front engineer, you're number one on the list. And also coming up, the jobs with the highest divorce rates. Nurses, you've got a problem. All right.
Hello. It's time. You're on Lou's First Call.
Hello.
Lou's First Call is sponsored by Gilkey Windows, Chicago's only family-owned, direct-to-consumer window manufacturer.
Coming up, Lou's First Call, sponsored by Gilkey Windows, independently verified to be one of the country's most energy-efficient windows. Before we get to Lou, some of your feedback in the mailbox. I think we're on to something there, Joe. Let's see. Texting from 815. I like the Paul Harvey between stories in the top six at six. Just need more pages. And from 815, Bob, to end the top six at six, have Paul Harvey saying good day. Well, we do, don't we? He's on the close. And then a number of emails. We've got that email set up, bobshow@wgnradio.com. And folks, and these came in actually yesterday from people wanting to hear something new. So I hope they're happy now that we did that on the top six at six. Julie Kent from St. Margaret Mary Parish said, it's good to hear your voice again, Bob, but weighing in on the six at six soundbite, it's awful. And from Rachel, I'm an online listener from Central Illinois. Got to say, the sounds you've been playing between the top six at six just are not working. It doesn't flow, no matter if the news anchors are from the Chicago area or not. Let's see. Karen emailed us. The in-between sound is too long. The quack was better because it was short. I think something like a quirky sound effect would be great and make me look forward to hearing it. Writing from Indiana on my way to work. Thank you. All right. Well, I hope everybody is now pleased that we've brought Paul Harvey back to help us out. Now let's get to Lou. Good morning, Mr. Manfredini. Let me give the phone number out here if you want to talk to Lou about some problem in your house. 312-981-7200. And what's happening in the Manfredini household this morning?
Well, I mean, you know, like everybody, we're getting ready for this weather that's heading our way. I was driving in listening to your reports already this morning, and it certainly seems like
this event is actually going to be what they claim it to be, as opposed to what we had last week, where, you know, it was going to be 10 inches of nothing that happened. So a lot of cold and ice and rain, and so I just want people to be careful. And, you know, this kind of stuff, when we know in advance, Bob, of the storms coming, it's always a good idea, like on the icy surfaces, to pre-treat that stuff. Like today. Today is a good day to go out there and put the ice melt down already. And then when that bad weather comes, it'll make life a lot easier for cleaning up later on.
I heard someone talking about what kind of salt you should use on your sidewalk, and some of it is bad for the environment and some isn't. What are we supposed to do?
Well, I don't think any of it is really good for the environment, but the rock salt, the thing that most municipalities and the highways use, is a very effective, inexpensive ice melt, but it really wreaks havoc on your landscaping and other surfaces. And so I always recommend that people use a milder product that's either potassium or calcium chloride or a blend of those two. And then there's even products that are designed if you have pets. But even the stuff with pets, it's still important that you have like a damp rag when they come in to kind of wipe off their pads, because they can get that stuff in between there and can be an irritation for them. And then if they lick it, it accepts it, upsets their stomach. I mean, I'm not trying to take Steve Dale's you know, flavors away, but it is all true stuff. So you got to be careful. And then the other thing a lot of people do is they overuse it. You don't need to go crazy with the stuff, and really try and keep it on just the surfaces that you're trying to treat, not the landscaping.
John is in Garfield Ridge. She's Lou's first caller. Say good morning to Lou, John.
Good morning, Lou.
Morning. What's your question?
Okay. I have an insulation problem, I believe. I had an addition put on about 12 years ago. I do have insulation in the walls, but I'm thinking when the addition was built, you know, you got in between the two floors, I'm thinking they didn't put insulation, because I got two back rooms in my addition that just seem to remain colder than anywhere else in the house.
And when you say insulation between the two floors, so in that addition, it's a two-story addition?
Right. So there's, you know, the gap in between, which is probably a foot and a half or something.
Right.
So I'm thinking maybe they didn't put insulation in there, because it seems like the floors are very cold.
Okay. So typically, there's two heated floors, meaning you got a lower floor and an upper floor, you know, separated by a floor plate, you know, where you got the ceiling of the one, that does not get insulated. And the reason is that heat gain that you would get in the lower room, you know, all of us in our homes during the winter months, up at the ceiling, it could be, you know, 6 to 8 degrees warmer than the rest of the room. And the idea is that heat from that lower area would kind of work its way up through those solid surfaces and then, you know, transmit all the way up, you know, physics working towards you. So that might, you know, that's typical in construction. But what might be the issue is if these are all outside walls, if you've got three outside walls on that addition, you just have all this cold surface area, and perhaps you either don't have enough cold air return in the areas or not enough supplies from the heating and cooling system that could be causing the problem.
Got that, John?
Yeah, I do. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the call. Hey, Lou, I wanted to ask you something. I saw you on the Today Show last week.
Yes, sir.
And what goes on during the commercials over there?
It is, Bob, it is like a, it is an incredible orchestration of almost like a dance, because there are so many, you know, you come from the TV world and the local TV world where there's, you know, usually like three people behind the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
On those national shows, there's 100 people. and it is, people are, you know, these stage managers are, all right, let's move over to this area. And there's hands and bodies and arms flailing, and they... The as most people probably don't know, these television studios are quite small. And in New York City in particular, there's no room to do anything over there. And they are squeezing 10 pounds of you-know-what into a 5-pound can on a daily basis. But it works. And I tell people all the time, I'm you know, the people in front of the camera there are really sweet, nice people. The people behind the camera that you don't see, who many of I've worked with for, I can't believe to say this, but 20 years, They are just complete professionals and know what they're doing. It's really something.
Yeah, they have to be. And in Chicago now at the television stations, you've got robot cameras.
All
so
the time.
We miss those guys.
Yeah.
And all the and time. Gals. Well, you do a great job. How often are you on NBC?
Usually once a month. I go once a month there, and I'm on the fourth hour with now Kathy Lee, Hoda and Jenna.
Yeah, don't call them Kathy Lee.
Yeah,
by
yeah,
mistake.
Yeah. And they're just you know, it's a really I'm very blessed to be able to continue to do it, and really nice people, and it's, you know, it's always fun to go to New York. So
yeah, well, if you get their name straight, you'll be on as a regular in the coming
please
years.
Please edit the tape.
Well, you do a great job, and I know how hard it is to kind of rush through those segments and get
fast.
All the information on there.
Fast.
Would it kill you to work my name in somehow the next time you're on?
I'll tell you what. Next time I'm on, I will figure out either to do a Bob Surratt or I'll give you a Carol Burnett earplug.
Okay, that's a deal. All right. Lou Manfredini, he is brought to you by Gilkey Windows, independently verified to be one of the country's most energy-efficient windows. And Lou is on the radio here Saturday morning, what is it, 7 until 10?
Yep. 7 to 10.
Okay. We'll be listening tomorrow, Lou.
Thanks, Bob.
Have yourself a great weekend. And coming up, a Beat Cop's Guide to Good Eats. Yep. A little restaurant news. That's on the way. Veteran Chicago police officer and author of the book, A Beat Cop's Guide to Good Eats, Lieutenant David Haynes is here. Lieutenant, good to see you again.
Good morning. Good morning. It's nice to see you again.
And for folks who didn't hear our conversations over the years, now, how many years on the force now for you?
I'll be hitting 25 in a couple months, and 25.
And I always forget, are you third generation Chicago police officer?
I'm second generation, but both my mother and father were police officers.
See, that's what we love about the city.
Right, yeah. And my sister is on the police department, and my older sister was a civilian employee of the police department for a long time.
And currently, you're up on the north side.
I'm on the northwest side, 16th District. I'm the midnight field lieutenant in the 16th District. And if you ask anybody on the department what the best job on the department is, they'll tell you the field lieutenant in the 16th District. And if you can handle midnights, it's even easier.
So you're going home and going to sleep after this?
Right. Yeah, this is I would normally be getting in bed and going to sleep.
And now, before we get to restaurant business, we've been talking about the search for a new superintendent. When is the top cop going to be announced, do you think? When are they going to figure out who this is, and then you'll have a new boss?
Well, I don't have any personal knowledge, but the way I've seen some of these things go, they'll whittle down the applications. And they'll have interviews. I don't think they'll interview everybody, but I don't know. There's only 25 people that applied.
Did you?
I did not. I thought about it. I actually looked it up, and not because I have any chance of getting hired, but because I figured it was one chance to say what I think to the people on the police board. But you have to do a video. That the application was you had to actually record a video, and that was your application. And I didn't want that video going anywhere else, so yeah. I didn't do it. But
yeah,
I do think that there was a couple of people that did that. I think some of those 25 are not really qualified to be superintendent.
as you mentioned to me during the break, some of the guys like you, the older guys, the veterans, getting used to all of this video recording, audio recording. But for the young guys, it's second nature.
Right.
They
yeah.
grew up with this.
Yeah, we talk about it at work, especially the body cameras and just the changes in police work. It's like for guys like me who have 25 years on the job and who are basically laid back anyway, it's really not that big of a deal, this whole change, because we learned we sort of learned how to do it. And the guys who are young, who are millennials, they grew up with cameras on them all the time, and so they're used to it, and they wouldn't do anything wrong. The guys with 10 or 15 years on the job who came on, when we came out, we were taught you have to go to a scene and you have to shut it down quick. Take control. You're in charge, and that's it. You know. And now we have to be more listening to people and understanding.
More aware of
more social worker type stuff.
All right. Let's talk about what we're going to do here before we take a quick break for the weather, traffic, sports headlines. You're going to get restaurant recommendations from other cops around the city. Is that how this is going to work?
Right. That's the of playing what we did in the book and what we do on the podcast that my co-writer and I did, Bull Garlington, that we do is we get recommendations from police officers generally. We go and we check out the restaurant. And then what I figured what we do is I wouldn't tell you who gave me the recommendation. So at least, you know, for a change, we talk about police officers in a good way on the radio.
Good idea. Yeah. All right. So we'll get a tip for a place or two to go. We'll also go over some restaurant news. And hopefully we'll check in with you like this every Friday. Hang on. Co-author of the book, A Beat Cop's Guide to Chicago Eats? No, to Good Eats. What's the name of the book, Dave?
Chicago Eats.
Yeah, Chicago Eats. Yeah, Lieutenant David Haynes from the Chicago Police Department is with us. And before we get to the restaurant review, Lieutenant, the idea here is you guys know the good places to eat because it's got to have good service, good food, and it can't be too pricey, right?
Can't be too pricey, yeah. And police officers get a half an hour for lunch. So usually when we review a restaurant, it's one you can get in and out of
right.
in a half an hour, usually. But, you know, we're all married, so date night, we do some nice restaurants occasionally.
Good. Well, we like to hear about those, too. What have you got for us this morning?
Well, you know, because you're starting on mornings and you're getting used to this, and I'm sure that if I ask the staff, you've been bringing in something for them for breakfast every day.
No, don't bring that up. No, they haven't got anything from me except aggravation.
Well, I brought something in today because I wanted to tell you there's a place up. My fellow field lieutenant, Lieutenant John Fellini, showed me when I was in 16, called New York Bagel and Bialy.
Bialy
at 3556 and a half Dempster Street in Skokie.
Uh-huh.
And it's just outside the city limits. It's on Toohey and right near Cicero. And this place is open 24 hours a day. They make bagels fresh 24 hours a day. All their sandwiches and everything is available. And it's one of the very few places I know that you can go and get really good sandwiches and fresh bagels literally 365 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Wait a minute. Is that why our producer Vivian is eating a bagel?
Yeah, I brought bagels
cheese?
In.
Oh,
I brought
that came from you.
Yeah, yeah. I brought bagels in for you because I figured, you know, you would have to, you normally bring it in. I figured, yeah.
I haven't gotten around to that yet. I've been busy trying to figure out where the men's room is.
At this place, it's right off of the Edens Expressway, so you know I know it's on your way in. You could stop by. And,
right. I could. Yeah. And do they have other things there besides bagels?
Yeah. Well, they have sandwiches, and I asked the guy, their smoked salmon sandwich is their best, and their lox and bagels are most popular, and their lox and bagels are. They also make their cream cheese fresh, homemade, or, you know, made there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all kinds of different meats. Not ham, though, which I guess is a faux pas. I sort of ordered that one day, ham and cheese, but they don't have that.
And they're open 24 hours.
24 hours a day. And I also know the first time when I talk about this, people always ask me what's the difference between a bagel and a bialy.
Mm-hmm.
Bagels are the only breads that are boiled. Bagels are boiled and with the hole in the center. A bialy is made out of the same stuff, but it's baked and not boiled, so it's a little crispier than a regular bagel, but it's good.
Yeah, there's a different thickness to it too.
Sometimes, although they seem to be pretty thick. There's usually a little thinner, but at New York they're pretty thick and they're good.
Okay, so that's your recommendation.
Yeah, and it's one of those places they only have a couple of chairs, so you can sit there and eat your bagel. But I asked them, they go through about 100,000 bagels a week. People come in and yeah. And buy them by the dozen, like I did for you guys.
Okay. All right. Give the name of the place and the address again.
That's the New York Bagel and Bialy at 3556 and a half Dempster Street in Skokie. It's a little strip mall there.
All right. We will check that out. Should we go to a little restaurant news now, or do you have something else you want to recommend?
No, I figure we go to some news. There's I don't know. There's a woman named Kylene Attenson who is taking over Cafe Salmari in Lincoln Square. up on the north side. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact address I was looking for.
Would you like me to call a cop to get in, come in here and tell you exactly where it is?
But she's a baker, and she won $10,000 on the first episode of Chopped Sweets on the Food Network.
Oh, uh-huh.
And she's just, it was cool to watch. I was watching the show, and then I realized she was from Chicago, so I looked her up. Turns out she's taking over Cafe Sal Marie, and she is, she was the smallest one there, and what a real tough girl. They make weird. I love these shows where they make stuff out of. You walk up, you have to open a box, and they give you the ingredients, and you have to figure out some wild dessert. It was pretty cool. It's mm-hmm. I like Forged in Fire too, where they do the same thing with knives.
We also have a closing to report. California Pizza Kitchen has closed its only City of Chicago restaurant inside the shops at North Bridge over there at 52 East Ohio Street. They still operate a handful of suburban Chicago restaurants, including Oakbrook, Skokie, and Schaumburg, but the one down here now closed.
Yeah, that's the only one I've been to is the Oakbrook one. I didn't know there was any other ones down there.
Yeah, and let's see.
You know, another closing that's coming up next month is the Blommer Chocolate Factory store.
Yeah, we were talking about it, but you're still going to smell the fumes.
Right. I actually called and asked that. I asked, are they closing the factory or just the store? They said, no, we're expanding the factory. I'm like, oh, well, that's great.
Yeah, you'll still smell it here.
I never stopped to buy chocolate there. I only go by and smell it.
Yeah, you can get a good, depending on the wind, you can get a good whiff when you're coming on the Ohio off-ramp of the Kennedy, right?
Right. Yeah. But have you ever gone by there when they've burned the chocolate? A couple times when I used to work down there, they burned the chocolate, and you could smell that a long way, too.
Did you give them a ticket?
No.
Yeah. Right, wait a minute. We have a call here. This is our old friend Vito, the limo driver. Hey, Vito.
Hey, boys. Good morning, Mr. Bob. Lieutenant, are you sure you have your address right? Are you sure you're not talking about the one on Chewy in Lincolnwood? I think you have the wrong address.
No, I think they're two different places, right?
No, oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, it is. It's on Tui and Cicero. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, not Dempster.
No, I gave the wrong address. It's just east of Cicero on Tui. I'm sorry.
4714. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, 4714. I don't know where I got. I don't know what's a 30.
All right. Thank you, Vito. Appreciate you catching that. Yeah,
yes,
people were confused. Pardon me?
I type all this out. I must have typed it wrong.
Well, Lieutenant Haynes is, he's been working all night, so yes. Cut him a little slack.
Can he talk about the new deli that's opening up next to his police station?
We're waiting with bated breath.
Where's that?
There's a new deli opening right at Foster in Milwaukee across the street from the police station. It's supposed to be, is it Jewish? I thought it was going to be like some kind of Hungarian thing, but it might be a Jewish deli. And they've been working on it. We thought it was going to open up at the end of the summer, but they've been working on it all winter long, and we have no idea when it's going to open, but we're waiting for it.
Can't have too many delis. Hey, Vito, good to hear from you. Thanks for the call.
Good to hear from you. Adios. Yes.
Okay. Now, we used to talk about movies with you as well, but since that's Dean Richards' department, we probably should leave that to him. But have you seen any good movies lately?
I did not. My wife went and saw Little Women. She wanted me to go with her, but I thought it was a sequel to Downsizing. Then I found out that the women are all normal size, and Matt Damon's not even in the movie.
So yeah,
I
didn't go. Very funny. I went. I saw it. Yeah.
I remember.
It's a chick flick. It's a real chick flick.
Well, my wife actually said she didn't like it. She said that.
Really?
She said it's the same story. She's seen it in three different movies, and they didn't update it or anything. The way she described it was we went and saw A Star Is Born. And A Star Is Born is the same concept, but it's sort of different every iteration. And Little Women's not. It's the same. So she was kind of bored by it, I think.
Okay. Well, I think Dean will allow you to get in a little tidbit about a movie when you talk about restaurants here every week.
Do I get to? Can I meet Dean one day? This is great. This is the first time I've come down here. I met Dave Bennett, who, everybody, when you listen on the radio, you have sort of a vision of what somebody looks like based on their voice.
Yeah.
He looks exactly like you would picture him. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And what about you, Lieutenant? Do you think people, when they see you, after they've heard you say, oh, yeah, that, I thought you'd look like this?
I don't know. I don't know. People usually, a lot of people comment on my appearance. mostly little kids around Christmas time, but none of my beard's gone completely white.
Yeah, you do have a kind of a Santa look about you. Lieutenant David Haynes, the book is A Beat Cop's Guide to Chicago Eats.
And we do a weekly a video podcast. Now we switched to video. We used to do online, but you can get it on the YouTube channel at the Beat Cops Guide channel, or the Facebook page, Beat Cops Guide Facebook page, or beatcopsguide.net.
And can people still get the book somewhere?
The book's kind of out of print. It's been almost 10 years since we did it. We are starting to write an updated version because a lot of the restaurants closed that were in the book. But so we're starting to work on it. If you can find it in a used bookstore, probably.
Okay.
We can give away a copy. I think I have
one. That's a good idea. All right. Get a good night's sleep when you go home after working the all-night shift at where again? What district?
The 16th District on the Northwest Side.
Not the Northwest Side, the Northwest
Side.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Always good to catch up with you. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. At least once a morning, we like to check in with our friends at Block Club Chicago. Jen Sabella is the Director of Strategy and the co-founder there, and she brings us extremely local news. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Bob. How's it going?
Okay. Let's start off talking about the lakefront. And we're still recovering from the effects of last week's storm. And I didn't realize that these beaches that are closed are permanently closed, aren't they?
They are. It's sad for some Rogers Parkers up in the far north side. This has been going on since the lake was really, really high in the spring. We had early season storms. And it's the storms from this past weekend just ravaged what was left. So when the lake was really high early in the season, so it was right after the summer, I guess it would be fall, they put up some riprap or some like man-placed rock along the shoreline on Juneway Beach and some other beaches up north. And that protected the area from further erosion this past weekend. But the parts of sand that they left in place in an effort to save some beaches for next summer were completely ravaged by the storm. So all of the concrete and like above the sand was washed away, and there were more of the shoreline eroded. So the city's going to have to come in and do emergency work to put more rock on the beaches, so there will no longer be sand there for people to come to and, you know, lay out a blanket in the summer.
So that's Howard Beach and Rogers, right?
Yes, Howard and Rogers Beach. There are still two small beaches, I believe, very small, in Rogers Park, that will be, there will be parts of them available in the summer, but Juneway Beach, Rogers Beach, Howard Beach are all going to be covered by in rocks by the time summer rolls around.
Let's move over to Wrigleyville now. And when I heard about this, I thought, this is going to be a booming business, a weed dispensary not too far from Wrigley Field. Tell us about this. It was just approved,
exactly,
wasn't it?
It was a John Barleycorn Bar, if you remember that place. It's massive. It was a really popular bar in Wrigleyville. The bar closed, but the Sunnyside Pot Dispensary is looking to move in and create what the owner says would be the largest dispensary possibly in the world at this location. It just cleared a hurdle in City Hall this week. It still needs approval from the alderman there. It needs like a special zoning change from the alderman, and Alderman Tom Tunney set it aside for now, but it is looking like it will be approved. Sunnyside already runs another location, another dispensary in the Lakeview area, and they've had really long waits since legal weed began. But a lot of the experts are saying that these long waits and running out of product is happens everywhere where recreational marijuana becomes legal. So they're saying that it'll sort itself out, and they'll have a massive dispensary right by Wrigley Field.
Yeah, 3524 North Clark Street. All the folks going to the Cubs convention downtown here at the Sheraton, and a lot of them will be happy to hear about that. Now, good news for CTA bus riders on the south side.
Yeah, So one of the most popular routes on the south side is the South Halsted Bus Corridor, which runs 11 miles all the way into the suburbs, which means it overlaps with PACE bus system in the suburbs, like down in Harvey and South Holland. They are going to be, I know we've seen this all around the city, but there are these red dedicated bus lanes popping up in an effort to get, you know, clear the traffic, clear cars from those lanes and give buses a priority lane so they could keep moving, trying to get more people to take the bus, frankly. And they're going to be doing that on the south side all the way down to 154th Street. So I believe it will be 98th Street to 154th Street on Halsted. They will add heated bus shelters, more signage, and these dedicated lanes so people who are traveling south on Halsted Street from all the way from Chatham to the south suburbs will be able to get wherever they're going more quickly.
Yeah, good news. And before we get to the weather update here in a couple of seconds, let's mention the Bridgeport Bakery, because that's good news on the south side.
This was a huge story in Bridgeport. In October, the bakery that had been around for 47 years closed. Its owner was just tired, ready to move some more time with his family. And a resident of the neighborhood named Can Lau was like, no, we can't lose this bakery. So he stepped up and is taking it over. And he's going to work with the original owner of the bakery, Ron Pavelka, to, you know, learn from him. He's going to bring back the bacon buns and punchki and all the ethnic pastries that have made it such a popular business at 2907 South Archer. They're working on it now, and it should be open in the next couple months.
Okay, we like that. It's extremely local news from Block Club Chicago. Thanks, Jen Sabella, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Bob.
And Marianne Murciano joins us now to talk a little bit about fighting wintertime sads with some tips from the experts. Good morning, Marianne. I notice you did not get up to greet me when the alarm went off at 3:30.
Good morning, Bob. No, that has never happened yet.
No, and it probably never will, right? Yeah.
Probably not.
All right. Now let's talk about these tips. And what's happening here is you're gathering all sorts of information on different topics from experts, people that you or we have interviewed over the years, and you're compiling this into a book that will come out at some point. And in the meantime, you're sharing some of these informative tidbits with us. And we're also inviting people to ask questions if they would like to, and they can do that on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Surratt and Murciano. But let's start off talking about what really is a serious problem for a lot of people who have the SADs because of the lack of light.
That's part of the problem. And again, Bob, these are tips that are going to be part of a Savvy Guide to Life. That's the book that you're talking about that's going to be coming out later this year. But loneliness is such a problem. It's an epidemic, and it takes a huge toll on people's health, and it can lead to illness. It can lead to premature death. And now that it's cold, especially on a cold weekend like we're coming up on, the combination of this cold weather and the loneliness can be lethal. So, you know, we move indoors when it gets cold. A lot of people are just avoiding the cold temperatures like I am, as you know. And, you know, there are so many dangers of walking on ice and on snow, so people just don't go out. And people who are already isolated just become way more isolated than they were. And then they connect less, and the less they connect, the less they go out and make efforts to engage with other people. So this, it becomes this vicious cycle that only ends when the sun starts coming out in, you know, late spring. I mean, it is social isolation. 40% of Americans describe themselves as lonely. And these are people from, like, it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, if you are just have a couple of people in your life and you are not engaging and going out or have a reason to go out, you are at risk to be part of this incredible epidemic. This isolation is weakening your immune system. It's damaging your mental health. and it's leading people to do things that, you know, sometimes are just terrible for their health, like smoking more and drinking more instead of, you know, going out and exercising. So there's been a lot of research on this, and I have a few tips that people, you know, can take part in. You know that I always say, I can't believe that anybody could ever be bored, because I would be sitting in front of the computer and going down so many different rabbit holes of YouTube videos and doing all this stuff. But that is not what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to combat this loneliness. So you should seek out a connection and make it a point to connect with friends and family and colleagues. And it gets really dicey the older you get, because once you're past, like, your late 70s, it starts to, I mean, your friends have, you know, started to die off. And you really, like, it gets very depressing for a lot of people, and they don't want to do that. So you really have to make an effort, because it will boost your mood and your energy.
And that's true, and then, even no matter what age. I mean, even if you're young people, I mean, get off Facebook and get some real personal connection. That's what so many of the doctors and researchers that you've interviewed have talked about, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. It's tempting to feel like, oh, in this digital age, we can just get on Facebook and join a group. And those things are valuable, too. But that can't be the only way that you connect, because you're not getting that one-on-one. Also, this is like, I mean, it just seems like common sense, but really make a point of spending time outside during the day. Like, aim for 20 minutes twice a day. And it doesn't matter if it's a beautiful day or if it's dreary and cloudy, but just get outside. And another thing people can do is to arrange your indoor environment so that you can get more natural light and move your furniture around so that you can sit near a window. Don't you feel so much better when you just get natural light?
Yeah, the other day, I was talking about it, the other day I just got out of my car because the sun was out and just stood there outside my car just getting sun on my face. And this brings me to another question. And I know you've interviewed many Western medicine people, Eastern medicine people, and they all talk about the need for vitamin D, and you can't get it from just a supplement, can you?
You can get it from a supplement, but it's not like getting it naturally. And you know that I have a hard time with that because I really hate being cold. But I stand in front of the sliding glass door whenever the sun is out, and I just soak it all in. I mean, it still feels just as good to get that natural light. And yeah, people's vitamin D levels are always, I mean, if you get a blood test this time of year, you'll see the difference between your vitamin D levels now and your vitamin D levels if you do it in July or August. I mean, it really is about the sun. And you can only get so much out of a pill. I mean, there have been studies that say that the pills don't even work. So, I don't know about that, but I still take the pills, but I try to get out as much as I can. And then another thing you can do is you can install full spectrum lights to your on your lamps and on your lights indoors. And I know that you and I have had this discussion about light many times, because I want to feel like when I turn on a light, like it's daylight. And I think that's what full spectrum light feel like instead of those cold lights.
Yeah, I go around the house because I look at the ComEd bill and I turn off all the lights, and then Marianne turns them back on again, especially this time of year.
Yeah, I just want to have all the light that I can have. And I know it's fake light, but it's still better than just, you know, walking into dark rooms like you like to do.
Yeah.
And then this is another common sense tip, but people forget that this really will help you feel so much better. Eat regularly, healthy, and, as nutritiously as you can, and drink a lot of water. Get regular amounts of sleep. I mean, don't take these. I mean, okay, you are the exception. You can take a nap, but only because you have this job, Bob.
Yeah, I'm also one of those people who I can fall asleep anywhere, any place at the drop of a hat, and other folks have a problem doing that.
Right. If you take, you know, a lot of naps during the day, and of course everybody wants to because it's just so cold and cozy. I mean, it's like if you don't have to go outside for work or for whatever, you want to take a nap. But don't do it. Just get a full night's sleep, at night. And then exercise regularly. And if you can, take your exercise outside. You know that I am one of those people that I really can't take my exercise outside because, once again, I hate being cold, but a lot of people, I mean, you know, it's invigorating. It can be invigorating. And then also help other people. Like, this increases your bonding with other people. It reduces isolation. And it's so important to this time of year for all of us to reach out to people who are either alone, friends or family members. Let them know that you're thinking about them. Send them a message. Call them on the phone. Go for a visit. Check in on people who live alone. That's so important. I mean, you know, some of these people who are living alone, studies have been done, and 40% of Americans consider themselves lonely. And some people, weeks will go by before they really have interaction with anybody.
All right.
It doesn't seem possible.
Go ahead, Marianne.
And then, you know, hug somebody. And I know you believe in hugs.
Yes, I do.
So
yes.
Hug somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, I need some oxytocin. That's it.
Yeah.
Scientifically proven. Marianne's winter survival tips, will need them this weekend with the forecast low on Saturday night, 7, and then Sunday temperatures in the teens all day. Sunday night, 0. Monday, the teens for a high, a low of 4 degrees. And Marianne, people can get in touch with you for more information and questions. Where?
Well, you know, you can write on our Facebook page, Sarat and Murciano. We also have our savvy-planet.com website. We're in the middle of a big rebranding, connecting it to our Suso's Fork food and travel website. So there's a lot going on, but if you subscribe to savvy-planet.com, everything is slowly appearing there. So go ahead and do that.
All right, Marianne, have a good weekend, because if you do, I do. And we'll talk to you next week. All right. Let's check in with Dan Hampton, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. And with temperatures forecast for Sunday, probably the coldest of the year, and snow on the ground, it'll be great for watching football. Won't it, Dan?
You know what? And good morning to all. I drove by Soldier Field on Thursday, and I was thinking, you know, I very seldom ever think about playing, you know, today, but I was thinking, how cool would it be to have another championship game back in Soldier Field in this kind of weather? You know, it'd be fun to have one more time. Let's hope that sometime soon we may experience it.
Yeah, you like that, Dave? Dan still got it in his blood. This kind of weather hits, and he wants to play some football.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was rarely a colder day in Chicago than the day you played the New York Giants in January 1986 in that playoff game. But let's get to this weekend's games, Hamp, and Tennessee, the Cinderella of the four teams still remaining, a 9-7 season. But should we be surprised that they've gotten this far?
I don't think the word is surprised. I think, you know, it's very interesting, and I think it's a confluence of a couple of different things. Number one, New England, and I was doing the taping for Pro Football Weekly yesterday, and I told Hub, I said, think about this. I just saw a picture of Tom Brady, you know, on the television. I said, when was the last time it was this late in the year and Tom Brady wasn't a part of the scenario? Well, it's been 10 years or so, and I guess what I'm leading to is the fact that a lot of times, you know, success kind of creates this false sense of security. And to me, the New England Patriots did not respect the Tennessee Titans. And so what did the Tennessee Titans do? they said, hey, we want to introduce you to this young man named Derrick Henry. And they trampled him. And they got a lead, and they never looked back. And then the next week, going into Baltimore, nobody, including myself, gave them a chance against the Baltimore Ravens, who led the league not only in scoring points, but in total offense, a number four defense. They were the most physical team in all of football. And yet Baltimore did not properly respect Tennessee. And boom, next thing you know, they're 10 points down, and they lose. So I guess I don't think, you know, shocked is the proper what would it be adjective. It would be more of a lot of times in football, if you don't cover the bases, if you don't do the simple little things like control the line of scrimmage, anyone can win on any given day. Well, Tennessee has been very, very physical. They've been dominant running the ball. Their quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, has been good enough. I think he's thrown for a total of 27 passes in two games. So it ain't the passing game that's going to kill you. It's that thundering herd. And I know Kansas City has shown in the past that they have trouble and they struggle stopping the run. But, you know, Mr. Cat, I'll tell you this. The night before the championship game, I mean, everyone is quiet as a mouse. They know what's at stake, the chance to go and make history in the Super Bowl. So I think that the Chiefs will be ready. They will be giving and according the Tennessee Titans the respect that they're due and they deserve after those two amazing wins on the road. But I think the Titans kind of come to an end in Kansas City this Sunday.
More with Dan Hampton and Dave Annett now, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. So, guys, we have the first game at around 2 in the afternoon, and then Green Bay and San Francisco Sunday night, right?
5:40 p.m. kickoff out in San Francisco. Hamp, I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to this game. I think, you know, it's a matchup. I keep looking at ways that Green Bay, and obviously can they hang in there with San Francisco? Sure, but I think San Francisco has been pointing to this game all season, and it's like there's no element of surprise really that they're there.
No, you're exactly right, and a lot of times in the game of football, you know, there are known knowns, unknown knowns, and unknown unknowns. Well, the unknown part of this whole game to me is if for whatever reason and however the Packers are able to find a way to jump up and get a 7 or 10 point lead, will Garoppolo be able to, you know, have a steady hand and not force the ball and make some mistakes? You know, if you look at the game some 7-8 weeks ago in week 12 when the Packers went in to Levi Stadium, a lot of folks, I think it was a pretty close point spread. Everybody, you know, thought, hey, this could be a little bit of a shootout. Well, it never even got close. The pass rush of San Francisco is really quite good, and it's the best in football, and they tormented the Packer offense. They stopped the run, almost, you know, snuffing that out by the first quarter. And then they proceeded to sack Aaron Rodgers 6 times. Now, last week they got after the Minnesota quarterback, and we saw what they were able to do against a pretty good offense, you know, an offense that gave the Saints fits. So I'm just saying, again, moment in time, if this was week 10, I think the Packers would have a gunfighter's chance in the sense that they've still got a great quarterback and they got a couple of good playmakers. But I really believe the 49ers have demonstrated over the course of the last month and a half of the season that they're in it to win it. And you say, what do you mean? Well, they're a young team, and a lot of those players were built with draft picks that we traded up to get Mitchell Trubisky. So in an abstract way, I've always kept an eye on what the 49ers are doing with those picks and as a team. And I'll tell you, they've got some grit. And I like their coach. Kyle Shanahan, a smart guy. Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, has done a nice job. They're number two in the league in points allowed. But more importantly, they have grit. And you say, what do you mean? Well, the last five regular season games were all wins, and they were all won in the final 10 seconds of the game. Now, I don't think I've ever heard of anything that bizarre, but, you know, that means you've got a lot of people doing the right thing at the right time for the right reasons. And you just don't forget that. And right now, again, like I said, I remember, you know, I played in three championship games, and the finality of the moment is what you miss. You know, you don't miss the preseason games and all that. You miss the big time. And I'll tell you, the 49ers have been able to ratchet it up and be able to meet the moment all season long. I remember when they went in and beat the Saints in the final seconds of the game to basically rest home field advantage away. So just like you, Kat, I'm looking at ways that the Packers hang around, but I don't think it happens.
That game in the first meeting in the regular season was 23-0 at halftime. San Francisco was a 3-point favorite going into that game.
And, there you go.
Yeah, so.
But here is the silver lining to all this. If the Packers do win, and we here, of course, you know that that is not the emotion that we're going to be dealing with. But if the Packers win, well, they'll go to the Super Bowl and Kansas City will blow them up. Now, look what happened to the Super Bowl loser last year. That was the Rams. They don't even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that is the silver lining. So if the Packers...
Oh, I see where you're going here.
Yeah, it'll only pay dividends for us next year.
Hey, Dan, how old were you when you retired from football?
33.
So when you see a guy like Aaron Rodgers doing what he's doing at, 36, do you think, well, maybe I hung it up too soon?
Well, how about Tom Brady winning at 41 or 2 last
year?
No, I respect, you know, any time you get past 33, then you're living on borrowed time. And quite honestly, these guys are amazing. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, they... And in a way, the NFL needs them. They really do. They need players like that, iconic players that kind of push Father Time back and keep playing. But I got news for you, Bob. Father Time is undefeated. He'll win in the end.
Yeah, don't remind us, please.
So give us one scenario where the Packers are able to go in there. Is it a question of stopping San Francisco on offense early and getting that lead, Hamp, like you kind of alluded to?
Absolutely. See, again, certain teams are built to play the game the way that it has always been the most successful. You get an early lead, and then you make the opposition one-dimensional, and then you can blitz and control them because you don't worry about the running game. You make sure that you don't allow that running game to be a factor. Then, I mean, your corner blitzes and, you know, mumbo blitzes, all these different things, twists and stunts, and everything becomes, you know, arduous. At the very least, the Packers have a chance. They've got some playmakers on defense. They've got a couple of guys on offense that, you know, Aaron Jones has not been a factor here the last month. And if he can get his running game going against the 49ers, boy, that'd be great. Then all bets are off, and it could go down to the wire. But that against that defense, that's maybe a bridge too far, because the Packers have struggled running the ball, especially on the road. They went and got killed by the 49ers, and then a couple of weeks later they went and played the Chargers in L.A. and got killed again. And both of those games, the running game was never able to be a factor. So, yeah, if the Packers rush the ball 30 times for over 120 yards, they damn well might win. But I don't think you're going to see that.
All right, predictions?
All right, very cold in Kansas City. It's going to be a low-scoring game, 20-7, Kansas City. In San Francisco, it'll be 28-10, and you're going to have a 49er Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl, and it's going to be the Chicago Bears what-if bowl. Because guess what? We could have drafted Mahomes, and guess what? Garoppolo was right down the street his whole life in Arlington Heights and then Eastern Illinois, and we didn't even know it. So
pretty soon.
I know the hits just keep coming, Bob, but that's life in the NFL.
We better hang up before Obradovich gets on the line, too. Thanks, Dan. Happy Friday.
All right, happy Friday. Enjoy the games. Go Bears!
And talking about predictions, let me get in a baseball prediction here, David. I'm going to do, this is an old weatherman's trick.
Yeah.
You make, I think John Colman used to do this. You make like a crazy prediction, and if it comes true, you're a hero. If it doesn't, well, nobody remembers anyway. Based on my spies, I'm predicting that sometime over the next few days, maybe this weekend, the baseball scandal will start focusing on Jose Altuve. Now, what do you think about that prediction?
Well, I think it kind of already, a lot of people are looking in that direction because of all this stuff about wearing buzzers and wearing wearable devices.
Well, I'll go further, that he'll admit that he wore one. That's
really
where I'm going. That's yes. Based on my spies, I'm going to say that you're going to hear that he has a lawyer. He's going to admit his part in the scandal, and all hell will break loose there around Jose Altuve. Remember, you heard it here, and if it doesn't happen, please forget that I talked about this. Let's take a quick break here coming up, and then we will get you today's entertainment headlines, and we'll be talking to Bill Rancic. That's all coming up after the news. In seconds, it'll be 8:10, a gray, chilly Friday. It's cold out, but this is nothing compared to what's coming by Saturday evening. So before we get to entertainment news, let's get an update on the latest forecast from meteorologist Mike Jansen at the WGN Weather Center. Good morning, Mike. Speak to us. Oh, wait a minute. I've got to hit this button first. Oh, okay. There we go.
Yeah, does that button help?
It sure does. Now we can hear you loud and clear. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. So far, so good. It's pretty quiet here. Just a lot of cloud cover this morning. But as you get in the late afternoon hours, we're going to watch out by the I-39 corridor for some snow to start to develop and move into the region and spreads over the area during the evening hours. Now, it could impact the evening commute for some folks. It then transitions into a wintry mix overnight. Really trying to nail down number wise in terms of how much snow, how much ice we could see. I think north of I-80 we could be looking at 2 to 4 inches of snow. It looks like lesser amounts south of I-80, but the tricky part will be is almost getting out there and measuring the snow immediately, because as we transition into that wintry mix, you're going to see some melting, you're going to see some compaction, you may see some ice develop on top of that, which then push your snow down in terms of its total. So we don't want to get too hung up maybe on the totals of the snowfall, but the potential here for the slick road starting up late this afternoon into this evening, continuing overnight tonight, and then carrying over into early tomorrow morning with the slick spots on the roads. That's why we have the winter weather advisory in effect. Runs until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning for most locations out in DeKalb County, McHenry County, until 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, because the potential maybe for some blowing snow there. And speaking of tomorrow, I think we see highs in the upper 30s by midday, and then Arctic air just comes crashing into the region. You're going to watch those winds out of the west gusting 40 to 45 miles per hour. And by late in the afternoon, I expect temperatures to be back down in the 20s. And by the time you get to Sunday morning, we're looking at wind chills between 10 and 20 degrees below zero. So an Arctic blast that's going to last a few days, but then starts to retreat by the middle part of next week.
Sounds like fun. I'm going to come out Tuesday. I'm going to stay in the house, and then I'll be out on Tuesday.
Enjoy the time indoors.
Thank you, Mike.
All right.
And Dean Richards is off on vacation. Good timing. Hope he's going somewhere warm. So we've got some entertainment reporting here. Jeff Bezos and his girlfriend Lauren Sanchez have finally made their romance red carpet official. The Amazon CEO and richest man in the world was spotted walking the carpet with the TV personality in Mumbai, India, as part of an Amazon Prime event. Next year, the Makeup Museum will launch the world's first exhibition in New York City, dedicated to the history of beauty and its ongoing impact on society. The flagship will commence with an immersive Pink Jungle, 1950s Makeup in America installation, which will explore the entrepreneurs, icons, and artifacts of the decade. And you can be sure the women will want to go to New York and visit the Makeup Museum.
Initially, I thought you said the Makeout Museum.
Well, no, the guys would be going
I was
to that
like, whoa.
One. Yeah. And here's the headline, the entertainment headline in the Surratt household. Curb Your Enthusiasm is coming back. That's right. The new season, I think this is season 10 of Larry David and Company, will be on HBO starting this Sunday night. We have some movies to talk about, also a bit more on the entertainment scene, and we'll catch up on your feedback as we open up the mailbox. Before you left for vacation, Dean Richards left us some of the entertainment stories of the day. Paying subscribers of NBC Universal's upcoming Peacock streaming service will get Premier League soccer matches unavailable on television, and late shows from Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers a few hours early, a few hours before they're actually broadcast on NBC. They will also get original videos and episodes of returning broadcast series the day after they air. A free version of Peacock will include next day access to first year shows. That service launches April 15th. And birthdays, Betty White, 98. How about that? And also happy birthday today to Jim Carrey and James Earl Jones. And in the theaters opening up this weekend, you've got Bad Boys for Life. Dean talked about that yesterday. And Doolittle. I don't know much about Doolittle except in the Sun-Times, Richard Roper writes this. Robert Downey Jr.'s eyes seem to glaze over with boredom as he plays the doctor who brings his animal friends on a seafaring quest. By the time the doc operates on a flatulent dragon, Doolittle has solidified its standing as a terrible multi-vehicle pileup. One star. Okay. Might not check that out this weekend. There you have your entertainment report. For Dean Richards, I'm Bob Surratt reporting. We've been alluding to these lists all morning of the best jobs and also the jobs with the highest divorce rates. Let's go over this. We have a few minutes here to do that. First of all, the top jobs in America appear to be tech jobs. Let me read you the list of the top. And this is based on median annual base salary, overall job satisfaction, and the number of job openings. Number one is front-end engineer. Not sure exactly what that means. Java developer, product manager, development engineer, data engineer, software engineer, strategy manager, and business development manager. That's what they say. The top spots on the list of best jobs in 2020, tech roles. Now, this is the list that really intrigues me today. The jobs with the highest divorce rates, they list 21 jobs here with the highest divorce rates. Let's go through this quickly. First, nurses, they must make critical decisions independently and quickly. Essentially, the life of a patient rests in their hands, which creates physical and marital stress that contributes to a higher divorce rate.
They also have very bad hours.
Yes, and you'll find that a number of these, Mary, on the list have that in common. Next on the list, that was number 21. Number 20, laborers and freight stock and material movers. They work more than 8 hours in one shift, even overnight. That can certainly hurt a marriage. Then you have medical and health services managers. The work can very well be around the clock and even require travel in some instances. And next we have computer automated teller and office machine repairers. Some of these workers put in over 50 hours a week. They typically travel to make necessary repairs. Long days away from home can leave little time to rekindle a marriage. So they're on the list. Also on the list of 21 jobs with the highest divorce rates, electricians. They say it's an injury-prone job featuring long periods of standing and kneeling. It can be exhausting, and due to the unknown number of electrical issues that might happen each day, the job could also involve evenings, weekends, holidays, and extended hours. Tax examiners made the list. During the tax season, a typical 40-hour work week can balloon into a ton of overtime and multiply stress for tax professionals. You couple extra hours and tension with harried and demanding customers, and you have a recipe for disaster. I don't know about you, but this is the season, we're heading into the season where I need to communicate with my accountant a lot, and this is the season where he doesn't want to hear from me. I'm actually afraid to call him up. I send an email once in a while, but it's a tough season for those folks.
It is.
Probation officers and correctional treatment personnel, number 15 on the list of the jobs with the highest divorce rates. And let's see what they say here. Understandably, when officers come home from work, they might be short on words or edgy, which can cause tension in a marriage. Administrative service managers. Stressful daytime duties and after-hours calls might damage a marriage, so it might not be surprising that an analysis revealed these professionals, especially age 30 and younger, have a higher divorce rate. Carpenters. Number 13 on this list, they have one of the highest rates of illnesses or injuries, typically work in less than stellar conditions. The job also involves working evenings, weekends, and having to commit to overtime. They say coming home late and achy, not good for a marriage. Carpenters have one of the highest divorce rates, and even higher medical assistants. They might have to work evenings, weekends, holidays, or overtime, unlike doctors are registered nurses. Their median pay is only about $32,000 annually, which could make them a little bitter on days that are more challenging. Now we're heading towards the top 10 here. Number 11, diagnostic-related technologists and technicians. They have to be on their feet for long periods and turn patients and work overnights, weekends, and holidays. And because they work in facilities that never close, it can take a toll on a marriage. Number 10, engineering technicians and expert drafters. The downfall could be that they're spending too much time assisting engineers and scientists with research and problem solving than nurturing their own marital bond. Number 9, and this is surprising, library assistants, clerical folks. And the deal here is the financial tension. More than half of library assistants and techs only work part-time and just earn $25,000 median annual salary, according to the Department of Labor. So they made the list. And with a divorce rate of about 15%, non-farm animal caretakers. Don't you always think that folks who work with animals have it easy because it lowers your blood pressure to be around these pets?
Well, yeah, kind of like therapy, you think, sometimes.
It is, but unfortunately, compassion fatigue, which is emotional exhaustion caused by caring for traumatized animals or people, is the culprit here, and it could lead to outbursts of anger and depression. You know, you don't take it out on the animals, but maybe you unload at home. Number 7, military. And they don't specify rank here. They just say military because of the long periods of time away from spouses and families. You can understand that. Number 6 on the list of jobs with the highest divorce rates, combined food preparation and serving workers. Of course, you get your unhappy customers, bad tippers, long hours on your feet. So the divorce rate there hovers at around 15%, which is fairly high. And, you know, when you work weekends, late hours, you don't get to spend quality time together with your spouse. Number 5, chemical technicians. They experience a higher rate of divorce when compared to other job holders in this study. Individuals in this profession spend a lot of time in labs conducting research and testing chemical products and processes. They say wearing the white lab coat might mean irregular and extra hours to monitor experiments. So the hyper-focus and dedication here that those folks give to their job does little to ensure the happiness of their marriages. Number 4, military enlisted tactical operations and air weapons personnel. Very high divorce rate, especially in the 30 and under demographic. And a Princeton study showed that enlisted women have a higher divorce rate than enlisted men when compared to civilians. Okay, now here's your top three. Number three, automotive service technicians and mechanics. They have one of the highest rates of injury and illness, and they're more likely in a mood, not in the mood, for a heavy dose of family time. The workers tend to be on the job evenings and weekends. Number two, logisticians, folks who work in logistics as a career, supply chain professionals. They hold the second worst job for lasting marriages, according to this report, due to the stress and the heavy workload and the overtime to meet demands. That's a drawback. And here's your number one job with the highest divorce rate, first line enlisted military supervisors. And most of the divorce rates attached to the jobs that I've just mentioned on the list are between 13 and 15%. For first-line enlisted military supervisors, the divorce rate, 30%.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that? First-line enlisted military supervisors manage and lead enlisted service members. Their role, however, tends to put a staggering strain on their marriages. Individuals under 30 have a 30% divorce rate, making it the most divorced profession. Although there is no singular answer for this trend, some reasons for divorce could include job stress and longer deployments. Those who experience combat, such as in Iraq or Afghanistan, might also be at a higher risk. So thanks to those who serve, and we feel for you. And I'm double checking here, guys. I don't see radio morning host, news anchor, sports reporter.
Nothing in entertainment, really.
Traffic center personnel, not on this list. Happy to say. Remember Bill Rancic? We'll check in with him and talk about what's new in his life right after the news. And an old pal is with us in the studio, Bill Rancic, who you remember from the first season of The Apprentice. He was the first candidate hired by the Trump Organization, and Bill's been around town here, active on the restaurant scene, and it's good to see you again.
Good morning,
Bill.
Thank you.
And before we get to food, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing and what you've done in the past. First, I always like to point this out that Marianne and I put you on television before anybody else, didn't we?
That's true. That's a true story. It was 1994. And I just opened up the Cigar of the Month Club company, and we were in the West Loop. Back then, it was not like it is today.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
We had our offices on Fulton and Jefferson, and I convinced you to put me on the morning show, yeah. And I got a mug out of a bin.
Yeah, the Boxo
right?
Mugs.
Boxo Mugs.
The Fox thing
right.
In the morning.
Yeah, and you guys helped launch my company, which was amazing. We were in this tiny little office, and it was just pretty cool how everyone in Chicago really supported us.
Have you been by there? Do you know what's there now?
So it's funny. When I was there, a couple years after we had put our office there, there was the China Club. I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah.
And they converted them into lofts. And they were selling the China Club lofts for $99,000. And I remember saying to my partner, what knucklehead in his right mind would pay $99,000 to live on Fulton and Jefferson? And boy, was I wrong. Yeah. As a real estate guy now, it's like, oh my goodness, what a mistake.
Now, are you splitting your time between here and L.A.? Talk about Juliana.
Yeah, well, Juliana's doing all the red carpets, so she's there about 10 shows a year. And she's got, I don't know, another one coming up here in another week or two. So, yeah, we're kind of between here and L.A. and working on some projects in Austin, Texas. So I spend a fair amount of time in Austin. And, you know, this is home for us, though. So we're excited.
And back to your time on The Apprentice and with the Trump Organization. What can you tell us about Donald Trump, the man, that people don't know? What was your take on him when you saw him off the air, when you saw him in business?
He was great to me. You know, I spent 3 years working with him and working on the high rise right here in Chicago. And, you know, he genuinely wanted me to do well and wanted to pull me up and lift me up. So, you know, I have nothing but great things and a great experience. I mean, he definitely had an impact on, you know, where I am today, for sure.
Have you stayed in touch at all?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, obviously he's been a little bit busy the last 3 years.
I think so.
But yeah, no, he, you know, he's it's been an interesting 3 years for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the restaurant scene here and your involvement with Let Us Entertain You. Now, this started with, was it the first RPM?
Yeah, it started with RPM Italian, which was over 8 years ago. And the whole idea really was by mistake. So my wife, Juliana, was born in Naples, Italy, and came to America when she was 8 or 9. And when we would have people come over to our house, when her mom was in town, they'd all want her mom to make pasta. So Juliana had this idea, let's open up an Italian restaurant. And I thought it was a bad idea. I said, this is, you know, the restaurant business. Are you out of your mind? This is crazy. So I just started showing her some spaces. We went up to Southport, and we were looking at like 30, 40-seat restaurants. And I knew she was going to fall out of love with us, so I was buying time. And then we went to dinner one night with the former bear, Greg Olson, and his wife. And we're sitting at dinner, and Juliana's telling Greg and his wife that we're going to open up an Italian restaurant. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. And then he says, well, you need to meet these people. And then he introduced us to RJ, Jared, and Molly Melman. And we kind of, you know...
Rich and Martha Melman's kids.
Rich and Martha Melman's kids of Let Us Entertain You. And we kind of spent about a year and a half getting to know each other and kicking the idea around about opening up an Italian restaurant. And then we took over the old Ben Powell space on Illinois and Dearborn. And that was it. And that was, we opened the doors over 8 years ago.
And I got to tell you, RPM Italian, many, many great things on the menu. Lots of simple things, lots of fancy things, but I just love that simple pasta.
That's that's her mom's recipe.
That's my favorite dish there.
Mama de Pandi's bucatini pomodoro.
Yeah.
There's like four ingredients in it.
It's great. Yeah. Nothing fancy about it, but it's tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the thick noodle, you know, which really soaks up the sauce and helps, you know, just carry that flavor.
Yeah, something big and new on the restaurant scene that Bill Rancic is involved in. We'll get to that in a second. I'm now ready to start the show. Sorry about what happened from 5 a.m. until now, but I am all set now. We're visiting with Bill Rancic, and we encourage guests who bring gifts. Bill, talk about the food you brought in here, because this is from the big new restaurant that's having the opening party tomorrow night. Let me turn your microphone. There you go.
Yeah. Thank you. It's from RPM Seafood, which will officially be open on Tuesday, and we'll be taking reservations on Monday. But it's a great menu. It's really has something for everyone. Here I brought you the lobster tempura, which is amazing. I brought you some truffled scrambled eggs. I tried to keep it a little bit breakfasty for you.
Because, we're ready for dinner at 8:47.
Next time I can bring you. We've got a beautiful Greek tomato salad here. So we've got some beautiful artisan breads. You know, as you know, we have a great wine list at the RPMs. We have Richard Hanauer, who's our wine director, and he's just like a savant with wine. He was a food and beverage wine sommelier of the year. I mean, just incredibly talented guy. So we've got really something on the menu for everyone. We have these beautiful seafood steaks. We have amazing swordfish chop, which is incredible. Last night I was there doing a tasting, and we have this wonderful coal roasted crab leg, which is off the chart. So, I mean, it's amazing seafood and fish and some raw fish, but then we also have steaks, we have some pastas on there. And the way I really would describe this is, you've been to the other restaurants, so RPM Italian is like going to Milan.
Mm-hmm.
RPM Steak is like going to a steakhouse in London.
And hopefully going to an expense account.
Even better, yeah, even better. We like those. And then RPM Seafood's, imagine being in the south of France or in southern Italy and Capri, and that's kind of how we themed RPM Seafood.
Now, talk about what's going on at the riverfront and the location of RPM Seafood, and also the place that everybody's been talking about for a while now, Pizzeria Portofino. But the development along the banks of the Chicago River, amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And the city has really championed you know, people to come in and invest and develop along the riverfront, and that's something that we did. We took over about 45,000 square feet in the 321 North Clark building. So we put three concepts in there. So as you see the river, it's tiered. So on the actual river level, we have Pizzeria Portofino, which is amazing. And we opened it mid-July, and man, we were just overwhelmed by the support and how many people wanted to sit out there, and they're pulling their boats up and just really having great, great times and celebrating on the patio. And then in September, we opened RPM Private Events, which is right above Pizzeria Portofino. We can do seated events for up to 450 people. So people are booking their weddings there, their corporate events, and it's really been great. We have beautiful patio space, panoramic views of the river. And then Tuesday, we're opening RPM Seafood, which is a two-level, which is on the Clark Street level. seafood restaurant, and it's I got to tell you, it's really amazing. We were in there last night. We had a room full of people trying the food and kind of working through the kinks, and it really came together. We have an amazing group of people. You know, obviously the Melmans and Kevin Brown, who's listening. He's a big fan of WGN. He's in his car right now, so I told him I'd give him a little shout out. He's one of our partners, and he runs. All the restaurants with Rich at Let Us Entertain You.
I've been minutely involved over the years with that company. And I'm very nostalgic when I visit that area you're talking about along the river, 321 North Clark. I used to spend many an hour at traffic court down there.
Right across the street.
Wow. So, it was always fun to go there for happier things like those great restaurants. Well,
good thing we have Uber now.
Yes.
Uber everywhere.
Yeah, you know, speaking for Dave and Mary and Steve and Joe and Viv in the control room, we appreciate the goodies you brought in here today.
Well, we appreciate you always supporting us, and from 30 years ago to today, you've been a true gentleman and really very grateful. So,
well, I'll tell you, it's really great to see what's happening along the river, especially. And by the way, this time of year, obviously, there's no sitting on the patio. But are you guys going to enclose that area by the Pizzeria Portofino?
We are working on that right now, where we're going to enclose the patio with Pizzeria Portofino, and we'll have heaters out there. And, you know, we had a big New Year's Eve event at the RPM private events, and we all went out on the patio. It was freezing, and watched the fireworks, and it was really a fun night, man. It was something special. I've never seen the fireworks on the river, and it was really magnificent.
Yeah, I don't know if everybody here has, in the past, you know, 6 months or so, if you've been down to the Riverwalk, but it has changed dramatically.
Oh, my goodness.
And the fireworks this year, it was the first time they went up and down the river, from what we understand.
That was spectacular.
And the view from here, from our studios, was supposed to be great.
Well, people were coming up to me, and they're like, God, I can't believe RPM put on those fireworks, because it's literally, it was off the bridge, right, on Clark. And I'm like, well, God, if we did, that would have been a couple $1 million. Like, there's no way, you know. It was funny.
Yeah, you know, to give Kevin Brown a heart attack.
Yeah, KB.
But it's really amazing what the city has done there, and they're not done yet. I mean, there's more expansion planned.
There's more expansion, and quite frankly, you know, we can use it, because people are really embracing this. And it was amazing to see when we opened Pizzeria Portofino just how much people want to enjoy this beautiful river that we have. And obviously, we have a limited number of days where we can sit outside, so people really embrace it here. It's like no other city. I mean, once it's above 60 degrees, I mean, these patios just come alive.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, I remember, it doesn't seem like that long ago, there were no outdoor cafes anywhere in Chicago. We were really late to the party because of various, I think, city council issues. But then it just exploded. Everybody's got the outside space now.
It exploded, yeah. No, we're thrilled to be a part of it, and we're excited about RPM Seafood. And we've got, a great team. Our executive chef, Bob Broski, he's amazing, very talented, just loves RPM Seafood, and he's been living there day and night, working on the menu with Rich and with the whole team. So,
all right, well, it's Bill Rancic. Always good to catch up with you, Bill. We'll look forward to the opening of RPM Seafood, open to the public Tuesday, right?
Reservations start Monday. You can go to rpmseafood.com or rpmrestaurants.com, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
Yes.
Will Marianne be joining you?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Yes. She wouldn't miss it. Stay here for a second here, Bill, while I acknowledge some feedback. Time here to get caught up on some emails and texts. This is from Tom. Earlier this week, Bob Surratt mentioned the death of a radio guy who wrote books about the old music surveys and was a longtime friend. I didn't catch the name of the guy. I'm interested in the books Bob mentioned. Do you know the guy's name? Yes, Tom. Ron Smith, a great guy, great friend to radio, a great musicologist. And if you just Google Ron Smith, you'll see all the books on top 40 lists that he has written. They're all great. I think his latest one was 8 Days a Week. Mary emails us. Hi, Bob. I want to say congrats on the morning show. I've been listening forever. Also, as a teen, listen to you. I love the Chicago intro. One of my favorite groups. So fitting. Keep up the great work. A nice beginning to a work day. We play a bit of Chicago at the beginning of the broadcast at 5:08. And then finally, this text from 312. Who's older? Surratt, Stroud, or Skafish? Who is the oldest Bob? Well, all I know is I grew up listening to Stroud and Scafish. That's all I'm going to say about that. Coming up on 8:55, we'll take a quick break here, and we'll talk to John Williams, tidy up a few things. Again, our thanks to Bill Rancic. See you tomorrow night, Bill.
See you tomorrow night. Thank you.
All right. The news is coming up momentarily from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Got a couple extra minutes here to check in with John Williams. We have the Cubs convention at the Sheraton right in our neighborhood starting tonight, running through the weekend. Sox Fest next week. Weekend at McCormick Place. Did you run into Cub Nation on the way in today, John?
I didn't see any of them, although I noticed that the Ricketts don't think that people want to see or hear them at their own convention, and I was a little surprised to see that.
Well, the word is that they felt it was the least popular event at the convention. Why do it?
Well, I don't know, maybe because you own the team and it's the most controversial sports topic in Chicago right now. I think you ought to be there and take some tough questions.
Well, Chris Bryant's going to be there.
Yeah, well, all the more reason for them to be there. I don't know, Dave. I would think that they should be there. And if it was weird. She said it's the lowest rated event at the Cubs convention. Does she mean fewest seats in the chairs? Not many people attend.
Maybe
that
they
session?
Surveyed the fans. And I don't
perhaps
know.
Perhaps it was at one time when everything was great.
I'll bet it would be a very popular session right now.
I don't think they'd have any problem getting people in there.
Just for the record, Anthony Rizzo says of the championship team, they were clean. There was no cheating.
I believe that. Oh, of the championship team, the 2016 team? Yeah, I don't think we were cheating last year either. I mean, maybe. Yeah.
Well, although he did say about stealing signs and so forth that it happens, he says 100%. Somebody was asking him about any of the opponents in recent years trying to steal signs or signal catcher signs to hitters before the dugout.
I'm okay with that.
Absolutely. He says teams have done that to the Cubs at times.
Well, we have a little baseball quiz for you. You think you know your baseball now?
Not a little bit.
All right. Dave's got a baseball quiz for us. Producer Olive gave it. We'll do this after the news. In the first segment, we'll just kind of catch you up, have a little fun, our little baseball quiz.
Very good.
It's Friday, too. So at the end of the show, where will you be at 11:40? Our Bright Side of Life segment, you call in. Tell us some good news in the world, the collective group hug on the radio, and we'll do that around 11:40.
I'll be staying in my house for a few days because of the weather. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. And along with other essential servants of the community, we'll be here working on Monday.